God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, open our eyes, our heart, our mind, and our soul to receive your heart's desire today, Lord. Amen. I spoke to a man years ago who said about electricity. And have you ever thought that electricity is a little bit like God? You can't see God, and you can't see electricity. God has power, and electricity has power. Now, if I remember rightly, when I was at school, electricity was either AC or DC. Not the rock group AC/DC. DC, if I remember rightly, was direct current, where the power went in one direction only. One direction, I know. There'll be no more groups. It's all right. Whereas alternating current was where it moved in all directions. And sometimes we're a little bit like that. We can be a bit all over the place. And our courage can go one way or another. And our courage can also affect other people. So let's look at the negatives and positives of courage. Now, the following contest has no rounds, no time limit, and the winner can only be decided by yourselves. In the black corner, weighing an incredible, unknown heavy weight, is D.I.S. Dis. His opponent coming out of the white corner is the very lightweight E.N. This contest is for the championship of courage. Your referee for this contest is Jesus. Who do you want to see win? Discourage or encourage? Beast and beauty. Let's get the negative one out of the way first. One of Satan's most effective weapons is discouragement. The enemy knows that if he can destroy our courage, we will be ineffective to accomplish anything for Jesus. Let's look at the downward spiral created by this destructive force. One mark of discouragement is a divided mind. And this distraction affects every area and decision that we make. No matter what you're doing, it feels as if a dark cloud covers your entire thought life. And discouragement also leads to the blame game, where it's common to feel the need to point a finger at everyone else instead of pointing it at yourself. You might want to find fault with God because he's allowed painful circumstances to happen in your life. Or you may accuse others of the way that they treat you. And perhaps you yourself feel guilty for the poor choices you may have made or past mistakes. I remember reading years ago that blame is an empty activity. No healing or restoration ever came from trying to pin responsibility on someone else for the hardships of your life. Now, anger is another common indication that a person is discouraged. When this occurs, bitterness can develop, and finally comes a spirit of vengeance. And this is what radicalization can do to you. If you let anger grow and fester with resolution, it can easily turn into depression. And then resentment can act like a cancer that slowly spreads and affects every aspect of your life. Discouragement is, sadly, a common problem. And no one likes to be around critical, negative individuals, particularly if gossiping is going on. Luke 6, verse 45 says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And the ultimate consequence of discouragement will make you think that God is distant, God is uncaring, or perhaps even absent, because you've built such high stone walls around yourself. Things that once were the cornerstone of your life, like worship, like prayer, like Bible study, easily fall by the wayside. But out of all the dark, negative discouragement comes the light and positiveness of God's word to bring us into encouragement. We go back to the beginning in Genesis 1, when God was creating in that first week land, sea, night, day, vegetation, birds, animals, sea creatures, and all the days that God saw that it was good. But when he created Adam and mankind, he saw it was very good. And that's how much God values you and I. And all through the Old Testament, God sent his leaders, his prophets, his kings to keep the people on the straight and narrow. But of course, lack of patience and not wanting to wait on God's timing got the people into so much trouble. So many problems. And we can be in that same situation sometimes these days, if we let it. If we let it. And many times God could have just destroyed the people, but his love is just so much greater than ours, because he encourages us to do all that we say and do. And his word gives us correction when we need it. I know Richard's not here today, but one of Richard's favorite books is the book of James. Read that. It's a real encouragement. And it encourages us to take instructions and to act on it. How many times have we had instruction, but then not acted on it? And that's got us a load of problems by not acting on it. God's love is constant and unchanging. But sometimes we have emotions that tell us otherwise. In our mind, we think we've been good. We believe that we're loved by God. But when we make a lot of mistakes, and after some times we query just how much he disapproves of us, far more often than the fact that he loves us. The truth is, there's no condemnation for any believer. everything that would condemn us, Almighty God was placed upon Jesus on the cross. In the Father's court of law, his Son was found guilty in our place, so we could be set free from condemnation forever. It's as if God stamped the record of our sin with the words, "Paid in full." No matter when the offense occurred, Jesus paid the price with his blood. The Lord doesn't excuse our sin. He's a loving heavenly Father, and he will use discipline to bring us back to godly behavior. Hebrews 12 verse 7 says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons and daughters." And God's discipline is evidence that we are his children. Far from being a reason for despair, discipline is a basis for encouragement and perseverance. I looked in the Bible Concordance, and discouragement is mentioned 16 times in the Old and New Testament. But encouragement is mentioned 62 times, almost four times more. And God is trying to put that into our hearts to encourage us. Jesus didn't come into the world to discourage us. He came to save us from ourselves and to draw us closer to him. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, in his letters, wrote a lot of encouragement. In Ephesians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 2nd book of Timothy, and Titus. Just encouragement, encouragement. Discouragement, gossip, and criticism are all forms of breaking people down. And quite simply, we shouldn't be doing that. It's all negative, it's all darkness, and it's all hurt. I looked in the dictionary for the definition of the word encourage. And these are some of the words that describe encourage. Uplift. Inspire. Motivate. Spur on. Fire up. Stimulate. Revitalize. Support. Assist. And my favorite one, enrich. By giving someone encouragement today, you can enrich their lives. Thank you, Di. Can you put up the one verse, please? This is from the first book of Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." And Paul learnt by experience about the value of words in shaping relationships and outcomes. Before meeting Christ on the road to Damascus, his words and his actions terrorized followers of Jesus. But by the time he wrote this letter to the Thessalonians, he had become a great encourager because of God's work in his heart. And now, by his own example, he urged his readers to cheer one another on. And Paul reminded his readers where encouragement comes from. He saw that in trusting ourselves to God, who loved us enough to die for us, gives us reason to comfort, forgive, inspire, and lovingly challenge others. Paul shows that encouraging one another is a way of helping one another get a taste of the patience and goodness of God. You know, there's one person in this church who every time before I preach sends me an email encouraging me. And someone else this morning stopped me and prayed for me. And that's encouraging, and that lifts you up. It's about building someone up, not breaking them down. Paul writes in Colossians 3, verse 3, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, in the Chinese language, the word for righteousness is a combination of two characters. The figure of a lamb and a person. The lamb is on top, covering the person. And whenever God looks down and sees you, this is what he sees, the perfect Lamb of God covering you. It boils down to choice. Do you trust your advocate or your accuser? Fear. There's two choices. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. The choice is yours. I believe that Jesus would want you and I to get rid of those discouragement things in our life. Get rid of them and to become an encourager.